Welcome to Simpler One Earth Living Podcast. I'm Jerry Iverson. Co-host Lee Van Ham is away. I'm pleased to be your host for Whose Birthday? Featuring audio selections from Simple Living Works' signature publication, the annual Advent Christmas resource for individuals, families, and congregations. Whose birthday is it, anyway? If you're new to this podcast and would like more information about Simple Living Works, please listen clear to the end. If you're a regular, you may want to say goodbye at my cue. We have produced a real treasure trove of free audio, video, and text resources for you, your family, and your congregation or group. We promote alternative giving. See the link in the show notes to the guidelines for year-round alternative giving, as well as the classic Christmas versions. Basically, alternative giving means giving away at least 25% of what you spent last year on all celebrations, Christmas, birthdays, etc., to local, national, and international causes. Our mission is equipping people of faith to challenge consumerism, live justly, and celebrate responsibly. All three parts of our mission are especially wrapped up in our resources for Advent and Christmas, when consumerism is at its peak, when we need reminders both to be charitable instead of spending so much on ourselves, and to challenge the systems that make charity necessary, and to celebrate in ways that focus on relationships instead of stuff. Our site contains familiar titles such as Unplug the Christmas Machine Workshop, Carols with Justice, The Celebration Revolution of Alexander Scrooge, What Does Jesus Want for Christmas, and many more. Check out our extensive resource index. The link is given in the show notes at simplelivingworks.org, window number 3. Much of the Whose Birthday series is also available in Spanish text. Please share it with your Spanish-speaking friends. See the link in the show notes at simplelivingworks.org, window number 3. This short series is different from the previous year's Whose Birthday podcast series, which, by the way, are still available on our site if you missed them or would like to hear them again. Visit simplelivingworks.org, window number 3, click Preview, Backup. In this episode, we present one part of an audio adaptation of the well-known Whose Birthday Is It Anyway? I hope you listen to the entire series, though each episode is self-contained. The series contains reflections and activities designed especially for the weeks of Advent and Christmas, including the Feast of the Epiphany. We'll have guests, both writers and voices, some well-known, some lesser-known. Links to the numerous references in this episode are in the show notes. I'll let you in on a little secret. All the episodes of this series are available at thesimplelivingworks.org in the audio archives, so if you don't want to wait for each episode to be released in iTunes or Stitcher, visit the site and listen to all or some of the series. See the link in the show notes. The topics for all the episodes in this series are listed in the show notes for each episode. The series comes from Whose Birthday Number 19, which is loosely based on Liturgical Cycle C, the Gospel of Luke, the same as this Advent and Christmas season. Note, this edition, unlike the previous ones, does not contain a daily calendar. However, there are some 20 to choose from in the archives.
The Spirit of St. Nicholas by W. David Holden. December 6th is the feast day for St. Nicholas. St. Nicholas was bishop in the city of Myra, in the country we now call Turkey, in the 4th century. That's about all we know for sure about him. Most of the stories about him are clearly products of the pious imagination. But common themes run through those stories. St. Nicholas fiercely defended the doctrine of the Holy Trinity. He protected children and women from abuse and exploitation. He advocated with kings for prisoners. Not surprisingly, he became one of the most beloved saints of the Orthodox Church, in which I have found my spiritual home. I learned about the spirit of St. Nicholas, however, long before I became Orthodox. I was reared in a small Methodist church in North Carolina. We thought we had a big crowd when 40 people came to church. We had about a dozen youngsters in the church, and the adults always made us present some kind of Christmas pageant, the old and very simple kind, with only readings and carols. The thing that I most vividly and fondly remember about those childhood pageants was the gift bags. They were little brown paper bags, and in them were an apple and an orange, a peppermint candy stick, and a couple of walnuts. They were about as simple a Christmas gift as anybody could have, and they were certainly all that a small church of lower-class working people could afford at that time. but they were wonderful gifts because everybody got one. All of us in the pageant and all the regular churchgoers got one. And everybody else who came to the pageant got one. It did not matter if they were church members who only showed up once a year. It did not matter if they were members of other churches in our community. It did not matter if they belonged to no church at all. Everybody got one of those bags. Bishop Nicholas would have loved them. On December 6th, we ask St. Nicholas to pray for us. We say to him, "Who could hear of thine unlimited condescension, and wonder not at thy patience and cheerfulness toward the poor, thy compassion over the sorrowful? For thou didst teach all concerning God." We ask St. Nicholas to ask the Lord for the grace to share his love with everyone we meet. Discussion questions. 1. Why do you suppose American culture focuses on Santa Claus instead of St. Nicholas? 2. Do you have a new idea of a way to include St. Nicholas into your family's or congregation's celebration? 3. St. Nicholas reached out to the poor. How are you in community with the poor? What can we learn from poor people at home and around the world?
Diana Woolley and Richard Steinbach will now perform God of Justice Ever Flowing from their Sing Justice, Do Justice CD. The entire collection is available as a booklet and on music CD. There's a Camel in Our Bathroom by Nancy Christensen. Our nativity came alive this Christmas as we tried a little experiment. Our usual tradition is to keep baby Jesus wrapped as a special gift to be opened first on Christmas morning. This year, our decorations went up later than usual, so the Kids' Church Christmas program was fresh in our minds, with thoughts of the wise men's long journey following the star particularly clear. Instead of setting all the nativity guests in the place in the stable under the tree, just waiting for the star attraction, we added more space. The kids found fields for the shepherds and sheep, and home lands for the wise men and their camels. The only figures who moved before Jesus arrived were the sheep and the shepherds, looking for fresh pasture to graze in. The anticipation filled the kids with excitement and wonder. When will these journeys begin? I will admit it was a little startling for a while to meet the wise men in the bathroom and the one in the pantry between the cereal boxes, but it really brought home the timeline of events of that first Christmas for our whole family. Baby Jesus arrived on Christmas morning, and the shepherds met the assorted heavenly host dangling in the hallway before they headed to the stable. The wise men finally spotted the biggest and brightest wooden star ornament hanging over the stable, and took their time journeying across the house so that they arrived on January 6th, Epiphany. For us, Christmas became more than just one night. In fact, I hadn't realized how effective this little experiment was until after the wise men's visit, when my son suddenly panicked that all the figures had to go home, and Mary, Joseph, and Jesus had to get out of there. Alarmed, I questioned what was wrong, and he replied, "Nobody stayed, Mom. Besides, Herod is after Jesus, and they have to get to Egypt." The Holy Family made it to Egypt safely, and the others returned home. God's story of his greatest gift filled us with the passion that only he can stir in our hearts. And I think we began a new family tradition. May your Christmas be more than just one holy night. Giving Circles by Meg Cox. At this time of year, those of us blessed with comfortable lives start thinking about all those others who struggle to eat, sleep, live, and learn. It's great to donate to the needy while full of the holiday spirit, but how do we take those philanthropic impulses and weave them into the ritual fabric of our year-round lives? Here's a giving ritual for groups of grown-ups. Family traditions of giving and community service are important, but it's also imperative that parents strengthen their bonds with people outside their families. One philanthropic ritual growing in popularity is something called giving circles. These are the reverse of investment clubs, in which groups of people meet regularly to collectively invest their money. In giving circles, people meet to give their money away. It's a simple idea, which is one of its charms. Many circles meet monthly, often holding meetings while sharing a meal. Some include just a handful of close friends, while a few in Silicon Valley, which helped make this form of philanthropy trendy, have hundreds of members. The money mounts up. According to the New York Times, giving circles have donated more than $44 million since 2000. The idea is to move beyond your pet charities. Research charities from the local to the global, then pool your resources for a common goal. Unless your bank account rivals that of Bill Gates, it's hard to feel like you've made a real difference when you write a check by yourself. But if your giving circle commits to a handful of causes and embraces them with passion, you will make a difference and feel like a player. You could, for example, become the sustaining force behind a charity in your town that really changes lives. I love this concept because I believe that living a compassionate life transforms us for the better and makes us happier. I also believe that most people are hungry for friendships that progress beyond gossip and small talk. Uniting with others on a regular basis to achieve a goal that is bigger than oneself fits my broad definition of a spiritual ritual. For the nitty-gritty on how they work and how to set one up, visit an excellent website, www.givingforum.org/givingcircles. And I want to recommend a charity that I think fits well with giving circles, a charity where small amounts of money work miracles. The organization is called Trickle Up and is a pioneer in the growing field of microlending, giving small loans to help entrepreneurs start businesses, often in poor countries. Trickle Up, which is celebrating its 25th anniversary, gives many loans of $100. That may seem like peanuts, but it's enough to let women with few resources open a produce stall or buy materials for a crafts business. From this modest start, they can feed their families, send their kids to school, and build a future. Last year alone, Trickle Up funded 9,858 businesses, 75% of them started by women. Given the season, I should also mention that a donation to Trickle Up is a great holiday gift from individuals. If you go to the website, www.trickleup.org, you will see that you can give money in someone's name and get a beautiful card to inform them of that precious gift. Giving circles are awesome, but they are not the only way to go. For a while now, I've been thinking about starting something called a Save the World Circle, which could eventually lead to philanthropy, but would start as a more purely educational exercise. I would love to gather a small group of friends together to meet monthly over coffee and talk about the state of the world, gathering information from books and articles that we would share with one another. There's a powerful book called 50 Facts That Should Change the World, which I think would make an excellent resource for such a group. Each fact, for example, a third of the world's population is at war, is followed by just a few pages of background. The book doesn't suggest what should be done, just states the facts. I could envision discussing three or four of these facts in depth at each meeting, with group members assigned to bring additional resources about the topic. At the end, the group would have a much clearer picture of the world's woes and injustices, and could decide what to do about them alone or together. Anybody want to join? Another twist on this was mentioned in a recent issue of O Magazine. There was an article about a group of friends in California called Chicks with Checks. They decided to throw a dinner party and charge each guest $35, with all the money going to a local charity for homeless kids. The women served a simple dinner, including pasta salad, bread, cookies, white wine, and water, and they raised $3,000 in one evening. They now hold a dinner party for charity every other month. In between, they hold virtual dinners and ask people to send in a check anyway. This article is from Meg Cox's Ritual Newsletter, December 2005. For a free subscription, email familyrituals@aol.com. Meg's book, The New Book of Family Traditions, Gifts of Kindness by Becky White. I have a kindergartner, and we wanted to make sure he knew whose birthday it was. This year, at the start of Advent, we wrapped a shoebox in gift wrap and cut a small hole in the top, placed a bow and label, To Jesus, from Gary, Becky, Henry, and Anna. Then, each week, each of us tried to do at least three special acts of kindness. These things had to be out of the ordinary. In other words, Mom can't say, I washed everyone's laundry, because that is something she does anyway as a mom. Each act of kindness was recorded on a small piece of paper with the doer's name on it, and placed inside the box. Then, on Christmas morning, we opened the box and read the messages out loud. It was good for our kids to see that we really did put some effort into giving a present to Jesus. And it was also good for them to hear the different acts of kindness, so that they get additional, new, and more ideas of things they could do themselves all throughout the year. We will definitely do this again next year. Happy New Year! Giving while spending. As a family, select a cause or organization to support with money you collect during Advent and the 12 days of Christmas. Choose a percentage early in the season, from 25% to 100%, then give that amount every time you spend any money for Christmas, in addition to the amount you normally give away. Decorate a can to hold the money. Put it on display. 20 bucks on a tree? Then 20 bucks goes in the can. This money is not a penalty, rather it serves as a reminder and aid to help others. Donate the money on Epiphany, the day the Magi offered their gifts to Jesus. Reducing Christmas Chaos by Ann Dielman. After working for years to really celebrate Christmas and not get caught in the frenzy of consumerism, this year I tried something different that really seemed to work. I didn't want to repeat last year's experience on Christmas morning, chaos of unwrapping so many gifts, even small, well-chosen tokens of love, with my husband, father, children, and grandchildren that we couldn't appreciate each one. You couldn't even remember who gave you what. Even the adults were hyper, whiny, and confused. So I decided to give and receive no gifts on Christmas Day. I wanted my gifts to be gifts of love, not obligation, and not dictated by a retailer's calendar. I am spacing out my gifts. No one knows what they will get or when. There's a lot more mystery, and it feels a lot more like love. At Thanksgiving, I exchanged gifts with my daughter from Pittsburgh, who couldn't come for Christmas. In mid-December, I made gingerbread with my older grandkids and gave each a Christmas storybook when I had time to read to them. Before Christmas, when my grandkids spent the night, I gave them new PJs and cuddled with them the next morning. When we travel to Guatemala in March, I hope to bring back colorful scarves or necklaces and give them away while I'm still excited about the trip. These fair trade items are much more educational and meaningful than mass-produced stuff. This all leaves me free on Christmas Day for church and family gatherings, eating, sledding, long walks, and talks. Free to really celebrate that God comes to us right where we are. Hallelujah! Enough already! by Mary Sharon Moore, Grand Forks, North Dakota. I accomplished my Christmas shopping in under 3 minutes this year, standing in one aisle in my local grocery store. I bought rice and beans for all of my family and friends, nice rice and spicy beans, and I'm making a donation of money in their name to a favorite charity. Why rice and beans? That's a real world menu. That's what 2/3 of the world's population eats daily.
You've been listening to one part of the audio version of Whose Birthday Is It Anyway? Number 19. The text for all these items are available through the links in the show notes. Visit simplelivingworks.org, window number 3. You're welcome to contribute to the online edition of Whose Birthday. This year is number 30. It is updated as new material arrives, so send ideas and items anytime. Prepare something now while it's really on your mind, such as art. Art that depicts the tension between faith and culture, especially at Christmas. Personal experiences, especially intergenerational ones, related to simplifying Christmas or finding a meaning and happiness in relationships instead of stuff. Family activities, rituals, or worshipful ceremonies for Advent, Christmas, or Epiphany. We reach many through our website, blogs, and other media. Sorry, we cannot pay for any submissions. To read the complete submission guidelines and past editions, use the link in the show notes. You're welcome to share your thoughts on these subjects. Email a message to simplelivingworks@yahoo.com, on our Facebook page, or on the Simple Living Works blog. All those addresses are given in the show notes at our website, simplelivingworks.org, window number 3. In addition to this podcast and its show notes, we blog each week on a variety of simple living subjects. Click on blog in window number 2 at simplelivingworks.org. We hope you'll read and subscribe to the blog. It is the companion to this twice-a-month podcast. The content is different, though the subject is the same. And now our 300-some blog posts have a new index to help you find topics of interest. See the link in the show notes. Also, the blog includes a monthly digest of many links to other Simple Living blogs. Many writers are offering all of us so much help. To receive my daily, brief, free, Simpler Living Nudge, send an email titled Nudge to simplelivingworks@yahoo.com. As one of our early and long-standing supporters of alternatives, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, known as ELCA, makes copies of each resource produced by Alternatives available by request at a nominal cost. The archive staff can help with your reference inquiries, whether they are genealogical or historical. Feel free to contact them at the office near Chicago. The complete contact information is given in the show notes. Or simply copy and paste items from simplelivingworks.org into paper or electronic publications. Please credit simplelivingworks.org. Time to wrap up this episode of Simpler One Earth Living Podcast. If you're new to this podcast and would like more basic information about Simple Living Works, please listen a little longer. If you're a regular, you may want to say goodbye here. Peace. If you haven't subscribed yet, we hope you will through the iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast service. Remember that you can listen to all episodes of Simple Living Works podcast. They're archived twice. Access them at simplelivingworks.org, window number 3, click Preview Backup, and choose the episodes you want with or without show notes. Subscriptions to this podcast on our weekly blog are free, and they keep you current automatically when we post something new. Urge your friends to do the same. Remember to like us on Facebook. You can also subscribe in iTunes to my other podcast, The Common Good Podcast, which I produce and co-host with Jubilee One Earth Economics. Send us your email address to receive the free monthly Simple Living Works e-news. Thanks to the band Earth Mama and to John Pitney for the music beginning and ending our show. This podcast is covered by the Creative Commons Non-Commercial Attribution Share Alike license. To learn more about Creative Commons, click on its link on our website homepage. We at Simple Living Works believe that simple living really does work. Voluntary simplicity, choosing to live simpler lives, is a faithful, satisfying, effective, comprehensive lifestyle. It's not a list of rules nor living on the cheap. It avoids fads, convenience, and deprivation. is so much more than a hobby. We believe in abundance, that there's enough for everybody's needs, not anybody's greed. We follow the saying, live simply that others may simply live, as our closing theme song proclaims. Contemporary faith-based simple living is guided by the five life standards of living more with less, the classic by Doris Jansen Longacre. I've discussed these standards in earlier episodes. We produce a half-hour podcast twice a month, hopefully educational and inspiring for you, your family, and your congregation, our group. We extend the mission and resource of the nonprofit organization Alternatives, which served from 1973 to 2011. The three parts of our mission are elaborated in text and video. Links are listed in the show notes. We also promote the mission and resources of our colleague organization, Jubilee One Earth Economics. Until next time, this is Jerry Iverson of Simple Living Works, wishing you well as we strive to challenge consumerism, live justly, and celebrate responsibly.
Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can live. Come everyone who has thirst, those who have nothing come by. Why spend your labor for things that simply do not satisfy? Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can live. The bread in your cupboard belongs to one who is hungry out there, and the coats in your closet unused could warm up the ones who stand bare. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can live. See how the wealth you acquire is borne on the backs of the poor, whose children beg daily for food, whose land feeds your child who wants more. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can live. Your children who need their own rooms lament that the forest will die, and those who would join field to field must stop long enough to ask why. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can live. God chose the weak of the world to shame the way of the strong. Learn how to live from the poor. Their wisdom will help us belong. Learn to live simply so others can. can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can live. Do not conform to the world. Be certain that better's not more. Contentment will transform your need, awakening what God has in store. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can live.